All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Should have had this out already. All right, here we go. Joe Heathen is on. John Phillips is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. 11, Carl 11 is on. Mike Griffith is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Judy Anita is on. Alligator 1960 is on. Skunk 71 is on. Paul's NYC is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Earth Tours is on. Let's see here. USA Abbey Girl is on. Granite 2468 is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Todd Supp is on. Snag Dog is on. Sunmoo 45 is on. Just Jesse is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Spaz 64 is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Bud Dave is on. Let me see here. LA 106 Times is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Noodlin McGroin is on. Milwaukee James is on. Paul's NYC is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Debnew 2011 is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. General Plowman is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Jim Brody is on. Whammy Jammer 79 is on. DK Jackson is on. TJT1 is on. Uncle Wally is on. Let me see here. Black Bart 201 is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Biggie is on. Naz Yeager's on. Let me see here. Rafa 9821 is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Let me see here. Anybody I missed so far? Those Jesus people is on. Lady Vu is on. Luann 5 is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. Oh, man. All right, here we go. Clean Sanchez is on. Producer Aaron is on. Still scrolling down, man. I get to the bottom. All right. Ooh, cool name. Blade Runner 07891 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Hopping right to the Trump stuff tonight. Here is RFK Jr. Going at it with a Senator Mischief video. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is wanting to cut. He wants to cut out of his own agency, HHS, Health and Human Services, $18 billion from the NIH. And $3.6 billion from the CDC, and the Democrats are panicking. Play for me.
DOGE reviewing NIH grant award.
We've got administrators. We're cutting waste. We're cutting duplicative programs.
You're funding $3 billion less in medical biomedical research than you did a year prior.
We're spending less on administration of those programs.
3,200 fewer grants.
Many of the grants were terminated because they were grants that were not advancing.
These aren't grants terminated. These are grants not awarded because the panels weren't convened.
Senator, we spend 70% of the world's biomedical research out of NIH. 70%. And we're the sickest country in the world.
$18 billion or 40% from the NIH budget slow the development of new treatments and cures?
And we are the sickest country in the world. So that money has not been well spent. We've had a 38% increase in our agency, growth in our agency over the past 4 years.
See, just imagine panicking. Aaron, load up that dead clock for me and just throw it in as you see fit side to side. But anyway, there you go. So imagine if you are Tammy Baldwin, Senator, and you're speaking to RFK Jr. and you're talking about cutting $18 billion out of the NIH. This is all under HHS, the NIH, and $3.6 billion out of the CDC for administrative programs that do absolutely nothing. And remember, as RFK Jr. said, and he's a genuine person. Do I agree with everything that he says, everything he does, everything he believes? No. But he is a genuine person who actually believes what he's saying and has been an activist for all of these things for years and is certainly right on vaccines, is certainly right on Anthony Fauci, and is certainly right about the waste, vast waste of billions of dollars that's happening right here all the time under the HHS when part of the HHS is CDC and NIH. So he wants to cut $18 billion out of the NIH, and it's all just administrative. I'm telling you. All our entire country. Joe's here tonight, so I like to make fun of Canada. I'm not going to make fun of Canada tonight. I'm going to make fun of us because what our entire country is about is throwing money towards institutions or NGOs, organizations that employ Democrats at exorbitant salaries. That's it. That's what our entire country is. That's it. And then we make sure that we keep our military strong so that the Democrats can continue to fund themselves. Probably the only reason why we have a strong military is so that Democrats can continue to live, us not be invaded, and have us fund their NGOs. Because really what the CDC and the NIH is really a glorified, even though they aren't a non-government organization, they really are, because they're being funded to do absolutely nothing. I want to poll everybody in the room and everybody watching right now, and I want you to name the top two accomplishments of the CDC. How about under the entire NIH? Because you had Anthony Fauci under the NIH for 50 years at NIAID, and the man accomplished absolutely nothing. And here's the glorious part about it. He was the highest paid federal employee, making over $440,000 a year. And now he's got about that in retirement also, about 70, 80% of that. So well into the 300s, he's worth $12 million, of which most of that was made during the COVID-19 crisis, so that he accumulated all of his wealth right before he retired. Very convenient timing for the pandemic. What has Anthony Fauci ever accomplished? Can anybody name it? We paid him, think about it, $440,000 a year for decades. And what did the man ever accomplish? Nothing. What does the CDC accomplish? Nothing. What does the NIH accomplish? Nothing. What does the NIAID accomplish? Nothing. They've done nothing. Let's be honest. 70% of the world's biomedical research is conducted by the sickest country on the planet, and that's us. Okay, let's take the last couple of years, shall we? Let's take the last couple of years. So now we are, Aaron, I was too busy staring at the camera to notice Aaron still had the deck clock up. Absolutely perfect. So what we've done over the last, 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve, just so everybody remembers, that's what it was. Everybody remembers that, right? Back in March of 2020, 15 days to flatten the curve. And remember, it went for the rest of 2020, the rest of 2021, and the rest of 2022. And they finally ended the state of emergency in April of 2023. Remember that? So all of this spending was increased. I mean, I'm talking about massive exponential increase in spending beginning in 2020 to address the pandemic. Remember the 99.98 post-infection survival virus that everyone wanted to pretend, not us that are red-pilled, that everyone wanted to pretend was a 99.9% non-survival virus, of which everybody participated in the delusion to the illusion, right? Everybody decided to do that. So we increased spending. We spent so far, $7 to $8 trillion on COVID, on a cold that, you know, you can't name one person that died of it. Not one. And if you do name somebody that died of COVID, they didn't die of COVID. They died of remdesivir. They died of being on a ventilator. That's what they actually died of, was the treatments to it. Or, of course, when did excess deaths actually increase? Because Aaron and I have showed countless slides, one right after another, that there were zero excess deaths worldwide in 2020. And the excess deaths didn't begin until, suspiciously, February of 2021, when you had a much less virulent virus going around. That's when the excess deaths began. So we increased massive governmental spending. Where our spending was before COVID was, we would bring in about $4 trillion a year in tax revenue and spend $5 trillion. So we added $1 trillion of debt to the national debt every year, which is treasonous, by the way, but certainly better than what we are now. So that's what we were doing prior to COVID, but right during COVID, because this was just great threat to people's life. Tom, get beyond COVID. Look at me now. Look at me. Never. I will never. They're all calling this right now, this whole Biden thing, the cover up of Biden's cognitive decline, the greatest cover up in the history of government. Really? 36 million excess deaths from the vaccines would belie that point. But anyway, so what happened during COVID was we were adding about $1 trillion a year to our debt. Well, during COVID, this grand emergency, this common cold that everybody's dying of, that nobody was dying of because there were no excess deaths until the vaccine rollout, which was the plan, as well as the vaccines created the infrastructure for social credit systems and CBDC. But anyway, so they increased the spending and then they for COVID, but never brought it down. Is COVID not over? So what they did was they basically added another trillion and a half dollars worth of debt onto our national debt every year in 2020, 2021, 2022. Now, shouldn't it be over when they declared the emergency over? then why is the spending still at the same levels? Why is it? Because Aaron and I can count it right now. In the next 20 seconds, we will add $1 million worth of debt. $3 million a minute is added to our debt because of COVID spending that never went back down after the pandemic. Because once you give Mike Johnson another $1.5, $1.8 trillion a year to blow on Democratic Party NGOs, he'll do it. That all makes sense, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right, I want to make sure everybody understands that all of this money, how has it ever benefited you? How has the federal government ever benefited you? Can you name one benefit? It's going nowhere except to fund Democratic NGOs or Democratic government agencies that are fully staffed by Democrats. 98% of the USAID was staffed by Democrats and voted for Democrats and sent campaign contributions to Democrats. So that's what's happened. That's what our country is all about. We can sing the Star Spangled Banner. We can give the Pledge of Allegiance, just so you know. That's what our country is about. And we need to get back to the federalism and the constitutionalism that is this country. Because right now, all we're about is this. This is it. And I'm going to just flat out give you a little preview. The big, beautiful bill does nothing to stop this. You know what the big, beautiful bill does? Add $10 trillion to it. Ugh. It's actually $14 trillion from where we are right now. Because it's slated to bring us in the next 10 years to $40 trillion. That's what it's going to add. It's going to bring us to that level when this bill is brought to fruition. So not 14, $4 trillion to the debt. How are we conservative? And you're like, oh man, Tom, I hate when you bash Trump. Listen, you can't be a sycophant for a human being. I've already given him all his accolades. If Trump was running for president right now, even with the big, beautiful bill, I'd vote for him. Certainly better than any alternative. And in my opinion, the greatest president of my lifetime, and in my opinion, potentially at least the greatest president of all time, depending on what he accomplishes over the next 4 years. I mean, if he gets peace in the Middle East, he got another hostage back. He has Syria as part of the Abraham Accords. Who does that? Donald J. Trump does. He's great on everything but this. And if this doesn't happen, the rest of it doesn't matter. You can have Syria be part of the Abraham Accords. What does it mean if the dollar means nothing? I mean, what does it mean? What does it mean when your account turns to nothing? Well, they'll still be in there. Oh, yeah, your dollars will still be in there. It'll just be worth nothing because of this. Everyone wants to talk about CBDC and it's all sexy and social credit systems and even the mark of the beast. Well, what about this? This is what ushers in mark of the beast right here. Right here. Right here. Because what they're going to do is use this debt to leverage in the new world order where they just said, we can never pay the debt, so we're going to go to CBDC. Central bank digital currency, because we can't pay off the debt. And therefore, they control everybody's account. And in order for you to access your account, eventually, you will have to have a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. By the way, that is going to happen. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. Understand it. Understand it. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. So understand that. That's what this is all about. This may not be sexy to a lot of people, and it doesn't make Trump look good. It doesn't matter whether it makes him look good. It must be addressed. It's just like when you're dealing with offended people. It doesn't matter whether you're offended or not. Is what you're offended by true or not? All that matters is it true? That's it. Doesn't matter how it was said, is it true? Is it true? And this has got to be, and this is what RFK Jr. is saying. You know, we need to cut $18 billion off of an agency, NIH, that accomplishes nothing. And Senator Baldwin, is arguing to continue this. Does she not realize she's probably worth a couple million dollars? That means nothing. If this continues, she will be worth as much as the guy spreading his own fecal matter on the streets of San Francisco is worth. That's it. Does she realize that? Trump broke too. I'm broke. You're broke. Everybody's broke. That's how it works. It better be addressed. And these people act like we have gobs of money. Does that look like we have gobs of money? Right? Does that look like it? Does that look like we have gobs of money? $36 trillion, $875 billion in debt. $3 million being added per minute. In the big, beautiful bill, see that Doge clock right on the bottom? It says we have now saved $450 billion. That all gets reabsorbed into the NGO economy. The economy that all the economy that funds governmental institutions that hire solely Democrats, that funds NGOs that hires solely and completely staffed by Democrats, who hire Democrats, who hire Democratic Party attorneys, who are given money to disperse. They're given money for vast dispersions. Here's $60 billion, Stacey Abrams, for you to disperse. And her organization pays themselves $59.9 billion to dispense $1 million. That's what happens, and that's what happens every time. And Tammy Baldwin wants it to continue, and RFK Jr. doesn't, because the CDC accomplishes nothing with that $3.6 billion. I mean, I want everybody to think logically. When was the last time the CDC, NIH, or NIAID ever solved a problem in your life? When did they? Again, we're spending $18 billion per year for the NIH to administrate itself, which would be absolutely fine if they were curing cancer, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely worth it if they're curing cancer. What are they curing? Nothing. What? I mean, can anybody name one cure? There's nothing. You can't even name a substantive treatment. Aaron, am I wrong? Can you think of anything?
No.
You're a different generation. You and Joe are the same generation. If you guys think of something, I'm just wondering, what have they accomplished? Nothing. All of these. I got Joe here from Canada trying to get him to be a citizen of the United States, although it's hard to argue for that right now because the United States is just an NGO maker for the Democratic Party. But regardless, any health agency in Canada ever solved any problems? No. Have we even cured a common cold? No. Flu? No. Cancer? No. Nothing. Nothing's been solved. And we throw billions at it per year. Anthony Fauci was part of the NIAID from 1980 until 2023-ish, 2024, until Trump got elected. Well, slightly before Trump got elected. What did he accomplish in all of those years? I mean, we're talking about, let's see, 44 years of accomplishing nothing. The man accomplished nothing except for killing AIDS patients and COVID patients. That's all that he's ever done. All right, let's go to the next one. Finally, let me probably like get off of this. Oh, this is a fun one. So Daily Caller video. Here's Chrissy, Aaron side by side. Everybody remembers Chrissy, right? He wants to go down and drink and have margaritas, kill Mara Brego Garcia, the MS-13 member, and try to bring in the deported MS-13 member, the human trafficker, back into the United States. That's Chrissy Van Hollen right there, the senator for the Maryland man. Not for the Maryland woman who was raped and killed by an illegal that's not Kilmar Brego Garcia, just to be clear. But he would gladly want Rachel Morin, the rapist murderer, the girl who was raped and murdered by an illegal. He would definitely want that illegal back in the country. Of course, that's Chrissy Van Hollen. A gelding male, a beta male who's scared of his wife. This typical guy, you know, happy life, happy wife kind of guy. Mom ain't happy, whole house ain't happy kind of guy. Bent over, receiver kind of guy his entire life. That's who he is. That's Chrissy. That's who Chrissy is. So Van Hollen, I have to tell you directly and personally, says Chrissy Van Hollen, that I regret voting for you, speaking to Marco Rubio. And by the way, Marco Rubio is scoring a lot more points than me right now than Dan Bongino or Cash Patel. Tell you that.
Yeah.
I regret voting for you, Secretary of State. Play for me.
I have to tell you directly and personally that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. I yield back.
May I respond?
You may sit.
Well, first of all, your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job based on what I know.
Well, that's just a flippant statement, Mr. Secretary.
Can I respond, Mr. Chairman?
You
Mr.
may.
I didn't ask.
Senator,
questions.
Please let the Secretary
I'd
have
be
the
happy
floor.
To, but then I can respond to his.
Your
response.
Time's up, Senator, and woefully used, I might add.
Well,
your remarks do not represent the view of this committee.
Well, Mr.
Secretary,
Chairman.
Please.
Well, I'd like to. I can't respond to everything he said because much of these are untrue, but I'll go through a few. First of all, I'm actually very proud of the work we've done with USAID. For example, I don't regret cutting $10 million for male circumcisions in Mozambique. I don't know how that makes us stronger and more prosperous as a nation.
I
don't regret
Sudan,
psychosocial Secretary. Support services.
I raised Sudan, Mr. Secretary.
Can I respond,
not
Senator?
Senator,
I'd ask you to suspend. You had 7 straight minutes of
I chose to use my time that way, Mr. Chairman. That's my right to
Please
use
suspend,
my time that way.
Secretary Rubio.
Well, I can go on. I mean, there's other things here. We spent $227,000 for Big Cat's YouTube channel from USAID. We spent $14 million for social cohesion in Mali, whatever the hell that means. So I can go on and on. I got the list here, and there's more. I didn't even bring the whole list. In the case of El Salvador, absolutely. Absolutely. We deported gang members. gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and the evidence is going to be clear. In the days to come, you're going to see who you went to
defend. Senator,
I'm sorry, please, Mr. Chairman.
Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor. You
Secretary
had your time.
Secretary Rubio should take that testimony to the federal court of the United States because he hasn't done it under oath.
Here's another point, okay? There is a division in our government between the federal branch and the judicial branch. No judge in the judicial branch cannot tell me or the president how to conduct foreign policy. No judge can tell me how I have to outreach to a foreign partner or what I need to say to them. And if I do reach that foreign partner and talk to them, I have under no obligation to share that with the judiciary branch.
What's absolutely hysterical is Chrissy Van Hollen, Cuckboy Central. He had already spoken for 7 straight minutes. And then he keeps interrupting Marco Rubio. And if you were ever interrupt him, he'd cry and complain about it because he is, in fact, a cuckboy beta male. But anyway, so he says, he yells out, Secretary Rubio cannot make these unsubstantiated claims. These unsubstantiated claims, he means that Kilmar Abrego Garcia, imagine again your motivation in life as Chrissy Van Hollen is to get up in the morning, travel down to San Salvador, El Salvador, and try to bring back a human trafficker. Imagine that. Imagine that being your motivation in life. And it is for Chrissy Van Hollen. Not the victims of rape and murder in his own state of Maryland, but you name an MS-13 member, a Maryland dad, a Maryland father, and you go down and try to rescue him after he's been rightfully deported to his own home country. That, and again, caught in 2022, human trafficking in the state of Tennessee. So he says to Marco Rubio that Marco Rubio cannot continue on with these unsubstantiated claims. The unsubstantiated claim allegedly is that Marco Rubio is saying that Kilmar Abrego Garcia is an MS-13 member. Okay, then you're saying that he isn't. Is that substantiated? So you're going to yell over his unsubstantiated claims with your own version of unsubstantiated claims. Because according to two judges, he was a substantiated MS-13 member, but I guess not at Chris Van Hollen's level of substantiation. So Chris Van Hollen is going to yell over Marco Rubio. He can't say these unsubstantiated claims while he himself is saying that he's not an MS-13 member, which has never been substantiated. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Chris Van Hollen. I mean, advocating. I mean, this is a guy who wants to slaughter the unborn, force you to wear a mask, force you to take a vaccination, usher in the bird flu pandemic, slaughter the unborn to the tune of $41.2 million a year, lop off penises, testicles, and breasts of 12-year-olds. That's what it means to be a Democrat. Have trans drag shows in the military paid for by you. Trans drag shows, trans surgeries for illegals in prisons paid for by you. Trans drag shows for 8-year-old girls so that 47-year-old men with taped up penises and testicles can twerk their rear ends in an 8-year-old girl's face while their mother has some sort of sexual fetish about it and oohs and ahs why he does it. That's what it's all about. That was for you, Aaron.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's what it means to be a Democrat. I mean, imagine, I just want to get up every day and lop off penises. I want to get up every single day and slaughter the unborn. I want to get up every single day and put together a disinformation governance board with Nina Jankowicz singing on it. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. That's it. I want to continue on the abuses, the waste, fraud, and abuse that's going on. This is a little example that I didn't know about that Marco Rubio gave in that senatorial hearing. $200,000 spent on Big Cat YouTube channel by you and me.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to add that to my long list of Doge cuts that I already have. Let's go to the next one. G-Paw video. Title pretty much sums it up. Here it is. Remember this, as this Democrat runs off Scott Jennings, awesome Scott Jennings on CNN, the Democrat puts together this doomsday scenario that never happened. Play it for me.
No, actually, the main concern here is that we're talking about broad-based tariffs on our allies and our adversaries.
We're also talking about broad-based renegotiation of all trade deals. UK has announced,
in the last
China's
century,
at the table,
Scott,
more to come.
What is the argument? I'm just actually, I
leverage,
actually am
leverage
genuinely
to improve
curious
our trade deals.
What the argument
leverage
is for having trade policy that's going to result in higher prices for the American consumer, that's going to result in a smaller economy, and that's going to result in job losses on the order of 400,000 to 500,000 people.
This is your apocalyptic night wheezes, but the reality is he is setting up leverage to renegotiate trade deals that are imbalanced and bad for American workers. The whole point of this is to put American workers at the center of our economic policy, and not just Wall Street and not just people who deal in money all day. Listen, that's the point.
All right, quote of the week, apocalyptic night weasels. So there are wheezes. So you have night weasels also. But anyway, so you have Aaron Maguire espousing that all of our prices are going to go up. Anybody's gone up? No. No prices have gone up. I've seen our gas prices vacillate right now from $3.90 to $3.15. That's it. Thank you. Go down, they go up. They go down, they go up. That's it. There's been nothing. The only price that's gone up is, on average, Chinese furniture built in China has gone up $1.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know how I'm going to make it since I've never bought one piece of Chinese furniture my entire life.
Bummer.
I don't know how I'm going to make it. And she, what's amazing about people like Erin Maguire is she gives her doomsday scenario, her nightmare, her night, what do they call it? Something night wheezes again. I can't remember. Doomsday night wheezes.
Apocalyptic night
wheezes. So not one of them has come true, that it was going to cause all of our economy to crash and all of our prices to go up and cause inflation. You know what causes inflation? Not tariffs. The only thing that causes inflation is one thing. Can everybody name it? Printing money, yep. Of which 44% of our current circulated money was printed under the Biden administration. So 44% of our current currency was printed under the Biden administration. So all the years back to 17, keep going, you're perfect, Darren. Going back all the way to 776, get that now. All the way back to 776, 56% of our currency was printed from 1776 till now. And I know that part of that time we didn't have currency. I understand, but I'm just telling you, that's how it worked. Until the Biden administration started in 2021. Does everybody get this? Does everybody get this? From 1776 to 2021, 56% of our current currency was printed in all of those years. And in the 4 years of the Biden administration, 44% of our current currency was printed. That's that.
That's crazy.
Right there, right there, right there. Everyone wants to talk about tariffs. And why doesn't other countries' tariffs on us not bother Aaron Maguire? I never will get that argument, Tom. You've espoused that 100 times. I know. But this tariff argument keeps coming up, so I'm going to keep addressing it. So if tariffs are so horrible for us to levy on other countries, why does no Democrat ever talk about the tariffs levied on us? How does that make sense to anybody? If they're so terrible, why didn't it bother you that there was a 30% tariff on our goods going into China, which now Trump has reversed? It was 30% on us going into China and 10% on them, China coming into the U.S. And now it's 10% of our goods going into China and 30% on China's goods coming into the U.S. because Trump fixed. After how long did it take Trump to do that? 120 days. Done. And you got 100 other countries stacked up waiting to sign up for these new tariff deals where either there are no tariffs or reciprocal tariffs. But according to Aaron Maguire, all tariffs are bad. So now are the tariffs that other countries going to have to pay to us, are they bad, Aaron? These people even think before they speak. Because what they say is absolutely nonsensical. It's a giant pile of steaming bull crap. It's amazing. All right, go to the next one for me. So here's one from Adam Hughes. Syria to join Abraham Accords after Trump brokered talks with Israel. Again. What is it, Aaron? I think it was 119 days last time we checked. So is it 120?
Yeah, 120.
So 120 days. Here we are, 120 days. Syria to join Abraham Accords? Never happened. Ever. So that's like five countries now under the Abraham Accords. After Trump brokered talks with Israel, Israel has been holding secret talks with Syrian officials in recent days on the possibility of the new regime joining the Abraham Accords. President Trump broke the talks and invited new Syrian President Ahmad Ashara to join the Accords and normalize ties with Israel. Pretty big accomplishment. Would everybody agree? Never happened under the... Aaron, can we go and can you pull the videos of all the accords that Biden got signed?
Yeah, hang on just a second. Oh, no.
Okay, there aren't any. Aaron found them all. None. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Department of Government Efficiency tweet. Besides the census itself, the U.S. Census Bureau, another giant waste of time. Has anybody ever... I mean, I shouldn't say it out loud. Do I ever fill those out? No comment. Besides the census itself, the U.S. Census Bureau performs 102 additional surveys. Let me ask Joe, I consider Joe to be a citizen of the United States, and Aaron, I want you both to yell out to me on your microphone how much the U.S. Census Bureau has benefited you as a citizen of the United States of America.
Zero.
Okay. Nothing yet.
Okay, there we go. So we got zero. Aaron's been in the country for 30 years. Joe's been in the country for, it's double digits now. How many years has it been?
12, 13 years.
And not one time has the Census Bureau ever come out and helped our Canadian friend. Nothing. They've done nothing except they perform 102 additional surveys costing $2.2 billion, many of them obsolete, with the results not being used at all.
Oh.
Not being used to drive any action nor even looked at. So we get to pay for $2.2 billion worth of surveys that are never diagnosed, that are never studied, never attributed to anything, and are never used for any sort of governmental action or anything else. The Census Bureau and DOGE are reviewing them one by one. So far, five wasteful surveys totaling 493 pages of questions and $16.5 million in costs have been terminated with questions like, here you go, Aaron and Joe, in your entire life, have you had at least 12 drinks, don't answer that one, Aaron, of any kind of alcohol, not counting small tastes or sips?
Yes.
Is that 12 in a row?
Here's another one for Aaron.
Also, yes.
Was this mostly regular wine, wine coolers, or fortified wine?
Not wine.
There you go. No, he's
I was never a wine.
Aaron was Aaron's repentant of his alcohol drinking, yeah. Just so everybody else.
No, I was whiskey.
How frequently do you use the internet in your home? Boy, this is all useful, isn't it? Do you drink wine, fortified wine, or wine coolers, or regular wine? If you have trail drinks of any kind of alcohol, not counting small tastes or sips, boy, I'm so glad that we spend billions upon that every year. And if you are Patty Murray, if you're any of these Democrats, Cuck Boy Chris Mullen, Chris Van Hollen, this is what you want to continue. This is your platform. This is what you care about. This is your cause. Right here, your cause celeb is I want to keep spending this money because if I don't, all the Democrats that are employed at the Census Bureau will lose their jobs. And you know what? You may win that for today, Chrissy Van Hollen. You may win it. But as you do, you devalue your own currency sitting in your own bank account and or making it worth nothing. Congratulations. Go, Aaron.
I was going to say, you know what that the surveys that nobody looks at reminded me of is I had a job, which I won't mention, but I had a job that I was supposed to send a report like every week, and I knew that nobody was reading them. So one time I just decided to send a blank spreadsheet just to see if anybody said anything. Nobody said anything.
You must work for the Census Bureau.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go to the next one, Joe. Nick Sorter tweet, breaking Ed Martin. Now, see, Ed Martin's for real. Not saying he's perfect. No, nobody's perfect. But Ed Martin's for real. This is a real crusader for justice. This is a real conservative. Breaking Ed Martin, the DOJ's new pardon attorney. Now, of course, I'm just backgrounding this real quick. Is you had another rhino Republican. Rhino is far too friendly. Republican in name only. They're just Democrats. Democrat Tom Tillis, the Republican senator out of North Carolina, he's the one who blocked Ed Martin being the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, which is the most powerful judicial position in the country outside of SCOTUS. And in my opinion, even more powerful than SCOTUS. You decide who to prosecute and who not to prosecute in the District of Columbia. Remember, that's where Bannon was prosecuted. That's where General Flynn was prosecuted. That's where Navarro was prosecuted. That's where Stone was prosecuted. That's where Trump was being prosecuted by Jack Smith. One of the places, one out of three, that he was being prosecuted. One in D.C., one in West Palm Beach, and one in NYC. But Ed Martin, the DOJ's new pardon attorney, just announced he's launching. So Tommy Tillis, the idiot that he is, wouldn't allow him to be, made sure that he smashed his nomination. And of course, said that he in advance they wouldn't confirm him, along with Mitch McConnell, along with Murkowski and Collins, and one or two others. Because of his opinions about J6, his opinions of J6 being, I think that some people were maliciously prosecuted and there was federal involvement. That was basically the outline of his opinions about J6. And because of that, that disqualified him. Even Tillis said, I would vote for him for any other position to be a U.S. attorney in any other jurisdiction except Washington, D.C. Because of Tom Tillis's ignorant understanding of J6 or just outright stupidity. But anyway, so Ed Martin, so instead of getting that job, he got a better one. because now he's in charge of investigating all of Biden's pardons. This is great. I'd rather him have this job. And it looks like Jeanine Pirro may get the U.S. Like an interim position as U.S. attorney over D.C. But anyway, Ed Martin, the DOJ's new pardon attorney, just announced he's launching an investigation into Biden's pardons. The integrity of the American pardon system requires that we examine the Biden pardons and who did what. We will get to the bottom of it. Count on us. So here's the deal with the Biden pardons. So now what's happened is, according to Alex Jones, what his sources are telling him is that there were, for the 4 years of the Biden administration, there was actually two orders signed by Biden himself. Two. The rest of them were auto pen, and five people have access to the auto pen. So all we need to do is bring in all those people. Welcome to the world of Ed Martin. Whoever you five are, welcome to the world of Ed Martin. It will not be pleasant. And you know what? You might want to start getting your affairs in order. Make sure that you keep all your files in order. You might want to go ahead and do that now. Preserve your documents because it's about to go ugly for you. And because of this, go to the next one for me. Sarah Ann Lynch tweet, new ousted D.C. U.S. Attorney Ed Martin, who is now DOJ's pardon attorney, revealed in an email to staff today, he is under investigation. Shocking! Shocking, isn't it? Whenever you do something real, you're either going to get audited or you're going to get investigated. And how is he being investigated by the DOJ or by any government institution under the Trump administration? Whatever institution this is, revealed in his email to staff that he is under investigation by the D.C. Office of Disciplinary Counsel. What should we do with the D.C. Office of Disciplinary Counsel? Defund them and fire everybody in the building. That's what you do because they're still operatives for the deep state, obviously. Let's go to the next one. So Trump brings home another one. Hey, Aaron, can you bring up all the pictures of the hostages brought back by Joe Biden?
Yeah, give me just... Oh, no.
Okay, there we go. No. So there we go. Richard Grenell, Joe St. Clair is back in America. I met Venezuelan. Richard Grenell's a beast. Richard Grenell should... He must have him in the right spot, but he's awesome. He needs to be in some highly powerful role inside of the Trump administration. He's a stone-cold killer. That's what we need. We need people like that. I met Venezuelan officials in a neutral country today to negotiate an American first strategy. Basically, that is camouflage for getting this prisoner who is being held in Venezuela back. A prisoner who is unrighteously being held in Venezuela, and he's brought back. It's one right after another. Trump averages a new hostage coming home about every other day. Biden did nothing. Trump secured the border in 3 days. Totally secured it in 100 days. But Biden did nothing. Egg prices had their biggest decline since 1984. Gas prices down. Grocery prices down. $10 trillion secured for U.S. economic investment. What, Aaron, again, can you find all the slides of all the economic investment that Joe Biden secured?
No.
Okay, you can't find any. Yeah, no. They're done. All right, let's go to the next one. Todd Starnes tweet, the DOJ dropped charges against New York's mayor. Oh, that's just fantastic. The one who stormed the gates of the ICE facility. Remember that guy and then refused to leave after numerous trespass warnings? But here it is again, Aaron. Our people came through for us again. Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino. They came through for us again by dropping all the charges against the New York mayor. What's his name again? Let's see if you can find that for me. It's something. It sounds like... It's like
Baraka.
It's Maraca. It's like something Baraka, whatever. But anyway, just throw it up when you see, throw it Or just tell me when you see it. James Comey has yet to be charged. Merrick Garland has yet to be charged. I love this rant by Todd Starnes because it's exactly how I feel. Exactly. There it is. Roz Baraka. Another Barack. There's another Barack. That poor man's Barack. Dollar store Barack. Did everybody see what he did? Stormed the gates, goes inside, refuses to leave. Gets told numerous times, leave or trespassed, leave or be arrested. Leave or be arrested. Given multiple opportunities. Doesn't do it, gets arrested. Why are the charges not being filed? Is there any question that he violated the law? No, it's on video. He's in the facility, refusing to leave. That's the end of it. I mean, get it, Aaron, can you help me? Why is he not being charged? Why is Pam Bondi letting him off? Because we want to curry favor with Roz Baraka? Why? The Newark mayor, Newark, New Jersey mayor, we really need to curry favor with Roz Baraka? First of all, his name is Roz Baraka. So you never curry favor with anybody named Roz Baraka.
Strike one.
Strike one, two, and three. He's out. James Comey is yet to be charged. Why? He perjured himself under oath. I mean, he wrongfully lied to a FISA court twice, and a myriad of other things. I could spend. Is it really 9:49?
Yeah. cooking.
Yeah, cooking tonight. I mean, I could go over. I'm not going to go over. I could spend a half an hour in James Comey. It's okay. I could spend a half an hour on the next guy too. Merrick Garland is yet to be charged. Neither has Merrick Garland, obstruction alone, obstruction of Congress alone. Neither has Alejandro Mayorkas, I mean, perjured himself, felony perjured himself, I don't know how many times. What about the Russia? Still no Epstein files, Aaron, Joe? Where's the fight log? Oh, we're redacting victims? There's no victims on a fight log.
Right.
Nothing. Why wouldn't you have it? Bongino, why? You're like, Tom, you used to love Bongino. I know. Listen, I hope he redeems himself. I hope Cash Patel redeems himself. When you sit there on video and claim that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself and you have substantive proof because you've read the Democrats' file, what happened to you? You're reading the Democrats' file, what they gave over to you. The James Dennehy from SDNY, Southern District of New York, FBI office, fired by Donald Trump. He gave you that file, Dan Bongino, and you believe it because James Dennehy gave it to you? That's like saying I believe it because Rod Rosenstein gave it to me, because James Comey gave it to me, because Andrew McCabe gave it to me. Peter Schrock gave it to me. Lisa Page gave it to me. I believe it then. Still no Epstein files. They told us for months. I mean, this is how we have to be towards the Trump administration. We can love them and critique them at the same time. That's what you have to do. I'm loved and critiqued. Aren't you loved and critiqued? Are you not married? They told us for months leading up to the election that it wasn't suicide. But now they tell us that it was suicide. It's as if they said it wasn't suicide. Aaron asked the question, which one's the chicken, which one's the egg? Did they believe it truly was suicide and said it wasn't so they could be elected? And now just tell us what they really believe? Or have they changed their viewpoint? I want to find somewhere where Cash Patel ever said it wasn't suicide. I mean, Cash Patel said that it was a suicide. I want to find something on the record prior to him taking over the FBI that says that he says that it was in fact a suicide. I would love to see that because he knows that he would never be a part of this administration if he advocated for that. And why is this happening? If you don't want to say that it's a suicide, then why don't you simply say you don't know? Even Bill Barr said that it was suspicious. Bill Barr is your line that you won't cross? Bill Barr is more radical than you, Bongino and Patel? But now they tell us it was a suicide. They told us for months leading up to the election that there was some sort of conspiracy regarding the Butler County assassination. Now there's nothing. No, really? Nothing. The guy has a rangefinder seen by cops 1 hour before the event. He's seen with a gun on the building that most needs to be protected. He's seen with a gun 2 minutes prior. Man, can everyone, let's just count 10 seconds, shall we? I won't even count the full 10 seconds. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006. That's 7 seconds right there. That's 7 seconds. Donald, they knew for 2 minutes. The DHS agents and possibly the Secret Service agents knew for 2 minutes that Crooks was on the best viewpoint building in the place. The most tactically sound building in the place. 2 minutes prior to Trump taking the stage and did nothing and let him take the stage. Encouraged him to take the stage. And now Patel and Bongino are going to come out and say there's nothing to see here. There's no conspiracy. And then there's another attempt by somebody drastically connected to the DHS, a couple months later with Ryan Routh connected also to the Ukraine. And then you have Crooks training at the DHS gun range. 19 of the agents on scene, 19 out of the 25 on scene that day were DHS agents who trained at the same facility as the shooter. Imagine. Yeah, leave that up, Aaron. You're awesome. Imagine being Bongino. And being Patel, and you're saying that there's not even a possibility of a conspiracy. No government official could have been involved in this. The only way that this could happen is if a government official was involved in this, and there was a DHS Secret Service stand down. You see that building right there? That building is the one that most needs to be secured.
Yeah.
And there was cops on the bottom floor. Crooks just climbed up there. There used to be 10 cops on top of the building. And then you have Cheadle, the former head, Kim Cheadle, the former head of the Secret Service. She says that the reason why they didn't have assets on the roof was because of the slant of the roof. Do you remember all those pictures? Here's the slant of the roof. There you go, right there. That's the slant of the roof.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't, had no problem draining the blood off the roof and dragging his body off the roof. Nobody fell down and went boo-boo then. Nobody. All lies. So you have Kim Cheadle lying about the slant of the roof, and Bongino and Patel tell us there's nothing to see here. There's no government conspiracy. I'm so disappointed in those two. I don't even know. I know it cost me viewers. I know. But listen, the same thing cost me church members. You preach the gospel, you preach the Bible, people are going to stream out. When you tell people that you going to hell is your own fault and that your problems are your own fault according to the Bible, then people leave. But it's still the truth. People don't want to hear anything bad about anything going on in the Trump administration. That's how you end up with totalitarianism, even though Trump would not take that option. Other people will. Trump would never turn into a totalitarian, but that you have to criticize your government. Still no word, next up, still no word on who placed the explosive devices outside the DNC after 120 days in office. Nothing. What can you and I accomplish in 120 days? And they can accomplish nothing? Nothing. Who's been arrested? No Comey arrest. No Mayorkas arrest, no Fauci arrest, no Collins arrest, nothing, absolutely nothing. I mean, I could go on and on and on. No J6 committee arrests, nothing. All the perjurers, all the liars, all the people. I mean, you're part of the J6 committee under Bernie Thompson, Liz Cheney, Kinzinger, and all the rest of them on the J6 Unselect Committee. And you delete all your investigative material, and that's criminal. To delete evidence, and nobody's getting prosecuted. No referrals to DOJ, nothing. And then you do have Roz Baraka get referred to the DOJ, and they drop all the charges. Because I guess you want to impress Roz Baraka, because he could get, it's just really politically expedient to curry favor from Roz Baraka. All right, let's go to the next one. Mike Davis tweet. Here's some fun stuff, though. Lawyer up, LaMonica. So the only one, I guess, is going to charge anybody is Alina Haba. Lawyer up, LaMonica. Nobody is above the law. I love it. Mike Davis always uses the terms that the Democrats used against Trump. Nobody's above the law, LaMonica. McIver. Nobody's above the law. Assaulting federal officers isn't congressional oversight. So here we have Rep. LaMonica McIver. Remember all the video of this. Of course, the same ICE facility that Roz Baraka was arrested at. And she ended up assaulting ICE agents while she's there, which each one of those assaults is felonious. My statement on the charges filed against me. Newark, New Jersey, Congressman LaMonica McIver released the following statement responding to charges brought against her earlier this month. I joined my colleagues to inspect the treatment of ICE detainees at Delaney Hall in my district. Oh, again, that's your motivation? I'm going to go and inspect the treatment of rapists and murderers. And there's been not one complaint coming out of Delaney Hall, which is a contracted ICE facility. All right, let's go to the next one. Trump girl video. Here's what she actually did. Play it for me. All right, Iron, play that back for me and just mute it. Should have told you earlier. But anyway, let's just go through this real quick. From a law enforcement perspective, for those of you new to the podcast, 25 years of law enforcement, let me just show you the crimes that she's committing. Right there's a crime. Right there's a crime. You can't push a federal agent out of the way. That, look at her. She's throwing elbows. Look at, did everybody see the fort? Look at it. Right there, she's hitting a cop. That is a felonious, look at that. Right there's another shot. Watch. Boom. Aaron, is there any question?
No.
That is a crime she's committing. But the good thing is, U.S. Attorney Alina Hobbit, that was one of Trump's attorneys, has officially charged Democrat LaMonica McIver with assaulting, impeding, or interfering with law enforcement charges that carry up to 8 years of prison. Look at her. It's obvious. I'm going to just tell you something. Those guys, those ICE agents, way nicer than I was, because that would not have ended that way if I was getting hit like that. Because I can just promise you, I have been hit like that on numerous occasions, and that person did not leave the scene on their feet. That person's going down. You do that to me right there, you're going down. Right there, look at this. You're right there, you're going down. Look at that. Look at that woman. Boom. Look at her. You're going down. You're right there. She's tackled to the ground, put in handcuffs. Because she's just a big fat woman. She's easy to take down. She doesn't have an ounce of muscle in her entire body. She's basically a giant glob of fat. Easy to take down. And I guess Alina Hobbit is going to just... we all know what's going to happen, though. Watch the DOJ swoop in and not charge her. Just watch. Just watch. And if they do, boy, you're going to hear it on this show. All right, switching to the economy. Peter St. Ange video. So here's the big, beautiful bill that I hate. But Tom, Trump's on Capitol Hill pushing it. He's wrong. Are there aspects of the bill that are good, like funding the border wall? Yeah. Are there aspects? Do you realize that it's not just funding the wall? Here's a list from Peter St. Ange of what this bill is actually continuing to fund. Play it for me.
The big, beautiful bill is in trouble. Last week, the handful of fiscally conservative Republicans in Congress revolted against the orgy of spending Mike Johnson's rhinos are trying to jam down their voters' throats in next year's budget. The specific sticking point was green handouts and Medicaid, which currently pays able-bodied men who refuse to work more than it pays low-income pregnant women. But the larger issue is next year's budget is being run by a big spending rump of the party in dramatic defiance of actual Republican voters. The so-called moderates represent less than 1 in 5 Republican voters, so they're not moderates, they're extremists on spending, yet they are running the show. They're raising spending when voters want it cut, including gobbling up all the DOGE savings and then some. They won't touch Medicaid or welfare, even the fraud. They won't defund left-wing NGOs. They won't even touch green subsidies, which are the poster child of left-wing corruption. And forget tax cuts. They're barely managing to keep the rates we've got, with a couple scraps for tips, overtime, and a tiny bump in the deduction for seniors. As the Wall Street Journal put it, they're, quote, basically demanding the GOP ratify the Joe Biden spending path. The background here is Congress can pass budgets with something called reconciliation, which means you only need 51 votes to pass. That means Republicans can do it all on their own. They do not need Democrats. And yet, instead, cuts are being blocked by these spending extremists who may as well be Democrats. The reason they're doing it, of course, is partly to buy marginal voters, so Medicaid to buy black men, so-called SALT deductions to buy rich suburban New Yorkers, and partly, of course, to pay the donors who buy them vacation homes, whether those donors are waiving crypto checks or solar subsidies they got from taxpayers. So as next, brought to you by Unchained.com, I've mentioned in previous videos how every political party is a permanent civil war between the voters who hired them and the special interests who bribed them. We're seeing that in living color, and so far most Republicans in Congress are choosing the special interests. The 800-pound gorilla is Donald Trump, the political howitzer, as the Journal puts it. So far, he's been quiet on the battle between conservatives and rhinos, being respectful of a Congress that is famously prickly when pressured. But if they can't pass, he'll have to step in. The question is, what will Trump do? On the one hand, for a politician, Donald Trump almost uniquely fights for what his voters want. On the other hand, the reality is Trump needs Republican control of Congress in the midterms, or his entire agenda grinds to a halt, everything but the executive orders. So given a choice between Trump being able to pass some of what he wants in a rhino Congress and being able to pass nothing in a Democrat Congress, the ugly realities of the Washington Party come into play. The solution, simple in words, if not indeed, voters and new media have to keep pressure on Congress to the point they are afraid to go rhino. We have to be Congress's backbone, because the liars and cheats sure as heck won't do it on their own. A new episode of the 20-Minute Weekly.
So there you go. So how's anything changed? This is the same Biden spending. Exact same Biden spending rate. Nothing's changed. We're still spending $6.8 trillion with this. Nothing's gone down. As a matter of fact, it's gone up a little bit. It continues green subsidies. under Republicans. Republicans own the House, the Senate, and the White House, and we're still doing green subsidies? Why aren't they being cut when everything can be passed via reconciliation? Because Republicans are not Republicans. Why would, if you were a true Republican conservative, why would you continue to fund green subsidies? Why? Because you're not really a Republican, i.e. Mike Johnson. No cuts to Democrat NGOs. They all know that all the NGOs are solely staffed by Democrats, given money to dispense that they dispense to themselves. Given giant budgets that they pay themselves exorbitant salaries to dispense. Still funded by Mike Johnson. And Trump is touting this bill. This bill continues us in the exact same spending pattern we're currently in. Where are the cuts? And reabsorbs everything Doge has cut. Respends it. So, I mean, by the way, where is Doge right now? Gone. Off the front pages. Medicaid, they continue to fund Medicaid. And by the way, here's the thing. They're not even putting any provisions. Yes, perfect. They're not even putting any provisions. Nobody's putting any provisions to even fight fraud. How are you a Republican then? How are you a Republican when you're not, you're going to continue to fully fund Medicaid and in so doing, absorbing the fraud inside of Medicaid? Why wouldn't you attack the fraud? If you're going to fully fund Medicaid, then you ought to have an agency inside of Medicaid that is investigating fraud. That's not happening. They're just going to continue to pay out the fraud. Why would you do that? Because Democrats are the recipients of the fraud. That's why. It's not Republicans. It's Democrats. So why would a Republican like Mike Johnson want to continue Medicaid fraud? Because he is, in fact, a Democrat. That's why. Green handouts continue. No tax cuts. He had an independent bill passed today for no tax on tips, but it's not part of this bill. No cuts, Democratic NGOs. And here's another one. It continues the SALT deductions. What's the SALT deduction? What it is that the state of New York, you get a write-off off your federal taxes from your state tax. So because they have to pay such high state rates, which, by the way, let me just set this up first. Trump eliminated in his first administration all SALT deductions because it hurts blue states. How does it hurt blue states? It makes them pay. Here's how it works. In the state of New York, state of California, they pay exorbitant state taxes. Those are deductible on, they are deductions off of your federal taxes. If you pay high state taxes, Trump eliminated that. Mike Johnson puts them back in. Isn't that great? He doesn't put them back in. He just continues them. Why wouldn't they be? Why would you want Democrats to be able to write off their state taxes and nobody else can? I mean, we can, but our state tax in Florida, there isn't any. Not at that level. There's, you know, marginal state taxes. Why? There's no state income tax. This is basically state income tax deduction. So via in California under Gavin Newsom, you have to pay state income tax. Along with your federal income tax, your state income tax is considered a deduction off of your federal income tax. But now, and Trump got rid of that from 17 to 21, and now Biden put it back in because it benefits his Democratic Party friends, and Mike Johnson is now continuing it. Explain to me how this is beneficial. Go to the next one for me. Thomas Massey tweet. The big, beautiful bill will add $20 trillion of federal debt over 10 years. $20 trillion. Before Trump leaves office, $40 trillion in debt. Not 1 cent removed off the debt. As a matter of fact, not 1 cent. Not only is there not 1 cent removed off the debt, you add another $3.5 trillion over the next three and a half years. Tell me how that's conservative. How do you tout that? How does anybody tout that as conservative? I'll show you how. Let's go to the next one. Steve Scalise, listen to the same old diatribe. Play for me.
And, you know, last night, Budget Committee was another big step getting the bill through. And we were having conversations, Speaker Johnson, myself, with some of the members that still have some questions that were on the Budget Committee. We had that conversation yesterday for a long time, but then we got the bill through. And now We've still this week got a number of other meetings we're going to have with different ends of our conference. You know, everybody from the moderates to the ultra conservatives and everybody in between, because there's so many important parts of this bill. You think about it, it's tax policy, making sure nobody gets a tax increase, border policy, giving President Trump the tools he needs to secure the border, energy policy, making sure that we can produce more energy in America, food stamps, looking at the debt ceiling so that we can address and not have a debt crisis, dealing with mandatory spending. As you point out, this bond downgrade is another serious blow that shows that America needs to get its fiscal house in order. We start to do that in this bill. You know, I wish that there was just one Democrat in the House or Senate that would join us in trying to get responsible about addressing these problems, but they're not right now. They're a party in disarray, but we're still unified. We have some issues and questions we're working through.
For the first time in the United States history, we have a bond downgrade, a credit downgrade from Moody, which, by the way, is a leftist, globalist, bourgeois, elitist institution. But regardless of that, we got a bond credit downgrade, which means we are a lousier investment than we were 36 hours ago. And what are they? What, and here you have Steve Scalise giving his usual diatribe. We're going to prevent a huge hike on tax hike on families. Who cares? Aaron Detklock? Who cares? There's a fire. You are on the Titanic, Steve. And it's already hit the iceberg. And what you're concerned about is playing violin. What you're concerned about is shaving. Got to make sure everybody has the money to shave. Make sure everybody's got enough money for cocktail hour and to get their boiled shrimp. The iceberg has been struck. The ship is being filled full of water, and you're talking about making sure everybody can get to the dining hall on time? It's typical diatribe. We're cutting waste and fraud. He goes, how are you cutting waste and fraud when you're not cutting waste and fraud? Fraud isn't even addressed in this bill inside of Medicaid. It's not addressed at all. There's no waste, fraud, and abuse even addressed in this, except to take back the waste, fraud, and abuse money that DOGE has saved us and then re-spending it on Democratic Party NGOs. Why is it? Because Steve Scalise is one. He is a Democrat. Same old diatribe. And he dares talks about the debt ceiling. So we can, how are you addressing the debt ceiling by adding $20 trillion to the debt? Listen, Thomas Massie votes for some asinine crap. He does. But he's right most of the time. And he's right. This does add that. It's $40 trillion by the end of the Trump administration and $20 trillion overall. How is this Republican? That's like saying you're a Christian, you're worshiping Satan, but you're still a Christian.
Yeah.
That's what it means. You have no characteristics of Christianity, but you still call yourself a Christian. It'd be like you walking into the Dallas Cowboys locker room with a Washington Redskins, and yes, I said Redskins, uniform on saying, I want to be a Cowboy. Well, take off that uniform and put on a Cowboy uniform. No, I still want to be a Cowboy, fully dressed as a Redskin, living in Washington, D.C., and playing for the Redskins, but I still want to be considered to be a Cowboy. That's how Scalise is a Republican. He has no characteristics of a Republican. Putting out the same minutiae. He's going to address the debt ceiling by adding $20 trillion to the debt and addressing the debt ceiling by raising it, because that's exactly what you're going to have to do to accommodate this bill. But don't worry, they're going to have a number of other meetings. Mm. Where's the cuts? Isn't that what we voted for? Where exactly are the cuts? Right, let's go to the next one. Let me just show you this real quick from the border. Legal alien crimes, Montgomery County, Ohio. I could do these for six straight podcasts for 3 hours a day. Montgomery County, Ohio, on Saturday, Jesus Miguel Perez Garcia was arrested for burglary and kidnapping. He has an by the way, before he had that, he had an immigration detainer. That wasn't obeyed. Go to the next one for me. Illegal alien crimes tweet, Denton County, Texas, earlier this month. Amanza Perez was arrested for sexual assault. He also had a detainer that was not obeyed. Hmm. All right, that's it. 10:13, that's good. All right, Rumble Rant Snipe. My friend Texas Billy. I really do know Texas Billy. He's a good friend of mine. $50, thank you so much. Nude Monk, $20. Mike Griffith, who I also know, comes to church here. Love you, Mike. Nude Monk, you might come to church here. I'm not sure. Who is the Nude Monk? Nude Monk, sometime make it to Foundation Church. Introduce yourself to me because you are a big part of this podcast. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys in the rant. Appreciate you guys in the chat. Stick around for the post game. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Love you. God bless you.